Good night, listeners. Welcome once again to our show, He Says, She Says. Love will be our home wherever there is laughter ringing, someone smiling, someone singing. Love will be our home. I just want to thank you, listeners, for joining us tonight. We are glad to have you. Thank you for locking on with us at Purpose Driven Studios. You're with your host, Cheryl Outram. Sit back, relax, and we are ready to do the show that you have been waiting for. So tonight, He Says, She Says, and we're gonna have our Dr. Brathwaite again in the studio tonight, and our topic tonight is As Christ Loved. The keys, I guess everybody wants, you know, I realize that people act very strange when they get keys. I've seen people who in workplaces, when they get the keys to the office, when they have the responsibility to open up a building and so on, I've seen people actually, their attitudes, their behavior, they change. They become someone, you know, unimaginable just because they have a set of keys. So tonight we are going to get some special keys tonight from our Dr. Brathwaite. And he is going to talk about the key or the keys to a successful marriage. So I'm not sure if he's given us one key tonight or if he's given us seven keys. I'm not sure how many keys he's given us, but we're going to get some keys tonight for a successful marriage. And the topic is As Christ Loved, the key to a successful marriage. So we're going to have joining us in a few moments, Dr. Brathwaite, and he is going to be sharing. Some of you, you know, you gave me some feedback from before. You said you were really enjoying the show. I want to say good night. Let me shout out my ladies who are always supporting me, always locked on. Mrs. Kim Dean, who has been married for 18 years. I need to have you in the studio, my dear. I want to thank you for your support. Mrs. Julia Aline from Julie's Baking Den? Anyhow, I'm going to get that name for you later. But Julia Aline, good night to you. A special good night to you. Pasadena Trotman, all my ladies. Leanne, Dion, all my ladies from my Excel and Publisher class. We've had some wonderful discussions. And I just want to say good night to you. Also, Judy. I know you're listening in. Good night to you, Judy. I know relationship discussions, that's your forte, you know. So I want to thank you for listening in. To those of you from the Detox Talk ladies, those of you who are listening, I want to greet you. I want to say good night. Detox Talk Barbados, Detox Talk Africa, wherever you are in the world, we want to say good night to you. Greetings to you, Minister Zonel Ford. Good night, sister. How are you? Sandy Paris, Sister Sandy Paris, how are you? I am sure you are locked on to us. Pastor Jason Clark, good night to you. Minister Ishmael Watkins, a beautiful good night to you, sir. And as we are about to go through our topic, As Christ Loved, we want to do an in-depth study on how Christ loved, and we want to be able to use that as the ideal for our relationships. So tonight, I'm looking forward to a very interesting discussion. I've asked some of my ladies if they will, you know, join us, if they wanted to come in and join the discussion. And I think with Dr. Dale's permission, if we have time, we would allow some of the ladies to come in. As I said before, this is the man's show. He says, she says, and it's intentional that the man is saying first, he says, right? We want to hear what men have to say about relationships. We want men to be the leading voices as we discuss, as we look at the topics weekly. We want to hear a man's voice. We want to hear men's hearts. We women want to sit back, shut up, and listen. So that's our cue for tonight, and we are going to have Dr. Dale joining us after this song by Nathaniel. And, you know, I was introduced to this song recently, and it just became a favorite of mine. Song by Nathaniel, For Better or Worse. And I'm going to play that song. And immediately after that song, you're going to hear from Dr. Dale Brathwaite. For Better or Worse.
Oh na 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 na. Oh na 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 na. Oh na 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 na. Oh na 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 na. Oh na 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 na. Oh na 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 na. Oh na 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 na. Oh na 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 na. If there's one thing that I know for certain, one thing that I know for sure, yeah, I can't get enough of you. Girl, I know that my love ain't perfect. I've made mistakes and I'm sorry. I am so sorry. The truth is, yeah. Baby, my love is eternal. Baby, my love is eternal. Oh, it's eternal. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The fire within me won't burn out. Passionate blaze and inferno. Oh, it's an inferno.
I was introduced to this song just recently by my daughter, and I just fell in love with it. I love the groovy song. So if you like that song, just look it up, download it. For better or for worse, Nathaniel. So over to Dr. Dale Brathwaite. A wonderful good night to you, Dr. Brathwaite. How are you?
I am well. And I'm very happy to be of service to the Barbados and the world.
Amen. So what do you have for us tonight?
I want to take a good look at the scripture of Christ that keeps us successful marriage. Because after listening to you a couple weeks back and reflecting, trying to root myself into he said, she said, one has to have a place where the pendulum goes to swing as a center point of hub. Because depending on your socioeconomic background, your social relations, like your social development, or any one of these things, you will have a view of marriage and family life or relationships. And if I have to be successful, or people need to be successful, I think that we need to go back to the blueprint. And I'll say one second later to our listening audience, and it was good to hear some of your feedback. And Ishmael and others, and just want to say good night to all of you. For example, as a natural health doctor, and looking at COVID-19, we are dealing with symptoms. However, we need to look at cause. And the body, as it triggers a double whammy in response, fever and inflammation, that's the natural body's response to getting rid of a virus. However, if an individual does not have the correct immune response, a virus will overtake you. So you would see certain words coming up, and this can be linked to how MERS work, or acronyms, the ATP, RNA, and DNA. If an individual's the ATP does not have sufficient energy to feed the RNA, your DNA will also be in trouble. So when it starts to give commands to function and so forth, there will be trouble. The endocrine system, which does the blink or walk and so forth, the organ. So you have to go back to cause. You have to go back to fundamentals. So likewise, our engine room for marriage has to be the Bible. From how I see things. And I can go from Genesis to Revelation and show scientific representation that how God made us. I would say to people, if you want to stay above the earth, you need to relate to the earth. Watch your diet carefully. If your diet is a lot of refined foods, you will get to the earth faster in this life. If your diet, for example, is any other thing than the fundamental principles of God, you will crash your marriage. So I want to put that as into our makeup as it relates to marriage and family life. Marriage and family life, a lot of benefit to the society. It is important. It is fundamental. And let's go at origin. So a couple, male and female, can only be considered as being married when their union is solemnized. And it is solemnized by bands of marriage, especially in the marriage context of the marriage officer or marriage license, as in case it be so. So the certificate shall be signed by the marriage officer and by persons married and attested to by at least two witnesses. So this event or occasion is stored in the form of a certificate in the public registry by the registrar of the Supreme Court, and I'm referring to Barbados, in Barbados. Other jurisdictions deal with it similar but slightly different. So a copy is kept by the marriage officer, and similarly another is given to the couple for posterity purposes. So each entry shall state that the marriage was indeed solemnized. A marriage shall be solemnized by the civic process and or through a religious marriage officer in the presence of at least two witnesses other than the marriage officer. So the religious marriage shall be according to the rules, forms, usages, and ceremonies of a particular denomination, faith, or creed to which the marriage officer belongs. So their union is solemnized through the exchange of vows before God and other witnesses before a bona fide marriage officer. Their union is then consummated by means of sexual intercourse. So at the close of the two activities, a person can be considered or can consider themselves as married. When we look at scripture, Jesus puts it this way, and you can see Genesis 1:27, Genesis 2:18, God said it is not good for the male man or mankind to be alone. We are sociable, we are spiritual, social beings. So when Jesus was asked about marriage and divorce, he responded by giving a quote from the book of Genesis. Then, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them a male and a female and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So your marriage is not to your mother, to your father. You leave them and you're joined. And this word joined talks about stick like glue, like a conjoined twin. Marriage then brings with it the leaving of husband and wife and joining a new institution, so that if your parents have brought you so far and has brought an institution so far. But for institutional change in terms of nation building, you have a father, a mother, they produce children, and then the children carry forward this legacy. So Jesus Christ, the Lord, taught that marriage was in joining together two people so that they become one flesh. So in essence, not only did God acknowledge marriage, he also joined the couple. So the first couple, they were joined by God. Further information, you can look at the Marriage Act of Barbados or the laws of the country, and we see some things. Let's go down a little further. And as we look at scripture, as my center point, you begin to see some things coming forward to us. And in Ephesians, I was reflecting tonight on some scripture. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. And then chapter 4, he takes us, the imitators of God, therefore, as beloved, dearly beloved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. The closest union of the expression of love is marriage. Marriage is, from what I see in scripture, is the church in its greatest expression. So the Apostle Paul says earlier, and he was single, Jesus Christ is our Lord, came for his bride, so there's a marriage in heaven, different from earth. One of the things he put here for us before he tells us to imitate God, he said, look, get rid of bitterness and rage and anger, brawling and slander. Marriage, these things can come up. And then he says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ, or just as in Christ God forgave you. So humans will make mistakes. You will not even get all the motives of your mind and in your heart concerning marriage. But God says, get rid of it and forgive one another. And forgiveness talks about to lift up and offer a way to God. But then, if you miss that, he said, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly beloved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So when we look at our lives as Christians, as our lives as married people, there are things that will bother you or challenge you, but you must offer it up to God that you can get the best going from yourself and the best coming from the other individual. So mutual forgiveness is a further mark of your fellowship with God and with each other. So there is an aspect where the Apostle Paul pulls up now the connection that he wants us to have, that we need to imitate God. And you look carefully at the scripture, and some things starts to come up at you. It says, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us. And note, this love is in past tense, just like in John 3:16. It is a fixed love, but it has an essence in it, present continuous. So how it is written, it is written in a sense that it was in the past, but yet it is sufficient for now, and it continues to be potent. When people are walking in this love, imitating God, love don't run away. So in verse 2, it tells us that God is love. And live a life of love, because you are now getting assistance to love. So if love is the essence of God's nature, it is, what I would say, the essential of the Christian character. And I would hurry to say that when Christians go to court and talk about irreconcilable differences, you've got to ask yourself, who is your God? Or who God is serving? There's another thing too that I've spent some time
Dr. Dale, can I interrupt you a bit? I mean, you're hitting hard tonight, though.
Sure.
So you're saying in essence that we as Christians are not supposed to be going to the law courts.
We don't have to. We need to go to the court of heaven.
No. You got me almost speechless, right? Because these are things that I believe deeply, that, you know, we again have settled for the world's pattern for settling things within our marriages as believers, because the way that God intended it for us was that we would not go before the law court to settle things regarding marriage, family, child support, anything like that. But again, it is how we have compromised, yeah? And I'm glad that you mentioned that. And I want, like I said, just to give a little backdrop to the he say, she say show. This show came out of conversations that I would have been having with males and wanting to have a forum where males can speak and where males can table the issues that they have concerning relationships and marriage. And I remember one day I was having a discussion with Minister Watkins, and I was saying, you know, I was suggesting something for men in terms of a journal, a book, or whatever. And he said to me, you know, it's not going to work for a lot of men because men don't have a safe place to air their views or to really say how they really felt. And I thought, I mean, it really hurt me because I know we as women have so many spaces where we can say, you know, what we feel like, what we want to. We can express ourselves. We express ourselves to each other. We get support from each other and so on. And when he said that, it really did hurt. And as I thought about it, I said, but you know, if a woman has a journal in a house and she's writing her personal stuff in it, I can see how a woman would respond if a man goes in that journal. But I am sure on the flip side, if a man were to have that same journal, the woman would feel as though she's entitled and has a right to go and read it without his permission. And whatever she reads will become an issue as long as it isn't, it doesn't, you know, sync with what she wants and what she believes. So it is from that discussion that I was really led to do the show he say she say. And I'm hoping that at some point that Minister Watkins will really take over the male show and I go and do the female show and so on, and you and, you know, all the men could really have a forum where men can really air their views and talk and really teach us as women what it means to be a man, what men are looking for, and we can really transform and re-educate and realign what is really happening, especially in Christian marriages and so on. And Mr. Fidel Carter, the son of our dear Anthony Gabby Carter, it was Fidel who, when I told him about what I wanted to do, Fidel then gave me the name for He Say, She Say, right? And he said, Cheryl, yes, that's the ideal name, and you're going to pair that, and we're going to just come and have the dialogue and stuff. And I just want to say good night to Fidel as well, Brother Fidel Carter, who is, you know, a constant supporter of our shows and, you know, always a great contributor. And even tonight as we have the show, I want us to remember Brother Fidel in prayer, who is at this time challenged with the issue of needing a kidney, but in spite of that, he's always locked on to the show, he's always supportive, you know. So I want us to really remember him and to lift him up in prayer as well. So even as you go along with the dialogue, Dr. Brathwaite, I want you to, you know, just pace it, slow it down a bit, so that our listeners, especially for the women, because I've charged my females, right, they're listening in, and I said, listen, y'all gotta sit down tonight and take notes, because we do, I think we all as women want to have good relationships, and we want to be the best that we can be in our relationships as well. And very often we don't have the teachers, we don't have the male teachers, and when we have them, we don't listen to them. So I pray that indeed tonight would be different, and that all that you're sharing would truly, you know, hit home and minister to the hearts of our females. So I want you to just, you know, take your time and really give the points, because the ladies are taking notes. All right?
All right.
Good.
Well, God said no, and he put it in writing. This book is almost finished, and I started it in 2019, January 2019. and I'm taking notes from three books that I wrote.
Okay.
Right? And this current book is Beyond the ATM Man and the Lady Who Is a Friend.
Mm-hmm.
And on February 11th, 2021, I was at one of our local big supermarkets. And I read it to a lady and asked her, what is the role of money to the female? Without a blink, she said, money means peace of mind, financial security, and freedom.
Mm-hmm.
I said, geez, right, the boy never comes to succeed yet.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go further. Appreciating this contribution, it seems that this outlook simply excludes Christ, our Lord, from the mental disposition of some females. But no, I ask, what is money to females or to the female? No, I have subsequently learned that if we don't want females to listen to me, I got to put the word some. So I apply some in the representation. The question is, does Christ exist as the sufficiency for the female or the couple or humans? Is he the standard bearer for our state of mind and life? For example, take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 6 to 11 and then Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 and following. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learn and receive and heard and saw in you, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So if you abide in scripture, it tells me that your approach to life and gaze is God-centered and will produce divine outcomes. However, if it is otherwise, the love of money, which is the root of all evil, and the role of money primarily to some females, will be a standard. So the scripture puts it, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So you have to ask yourself the question, for some women, and I would now say some men, as a fellow marriage officer said, they marry opportunity and the money, not the man.
You want to repeat that for the people in the back?
Okay, y'all come here, people, cool. Back office or whatever you call it.
But it's a classroom, you know?
Okay, turn the volume then. Some women from this text and some men, they marry the opportunity and the money, not the man. As Les Brown, Dr. Miles Morrow, and others, the late Dr. Miles, said, even if the guy is ugly, once he has what they're looking for, there's something beautiful about him. Even if the dollar bill's got different faces, he's a beautiful man.
So you can actually get your face and move in, that's what you're saying?
You got that right. Because the money, as this young lady said to me, money means peace of mind. When you compare that with scripture, peace of mind comes from more, not money. COVID-19 has shut down opportunities for self-aggrandizement. The thing that we have today is that some people look at the collar and tie and so forth. So now people are working from home. The fancy clothes got to be in the wardrobe. So status and class gone through the door, because I've started to realize that status and class is a figment of the imagination that puts you in a place to want to have power and to control and to seem as though you got it together. Then it is just a facade blocking out a history. So you marry somebody that gives the opportunity never to see your past again.
Wow.
And this sometimes, the motives that drives this thing are very dangerous, because if the person loses the job or the money, the individual gone, and this is gender neutral. go further. The implication is that there is also a freedom from submitting to the husband, as it seems that some females perceive themselves as others and others as what we call subhuman because of not having a certain education and wealth. As one person, 27-year-old young lady, said to me, "Hey, we millennials, we marry up, we don't marry down. Are you not marrying? When I stand as a help in the marriages or a marriage officer, I don't marry salaries, I marry two individuals. Money is a fringe benefit, that serves the home. So both come to the table." I was talking with a special friend last night that was helping me with working through some of these ideas. And I said, "Listen," she said to me, "Oh, you don't take money to the soup. You don't take love to the soup. Marcus, in here, you don't take love. But if I know that you got high blood pressure and they're going to buy all this salt, beef, and this and that, that's it. Because you have a problem with your thoracic system. You have a problem with your cardiovascular system. So I, using love, I will buy those things that promote greater health in you." We then watch some of the guys. The guys are driven by, like God said to Adam, and not what God said to Adam and Eve, both fall in marriage with it. That Adam's desire shall be to pull things from the earth and build its edifice. The woman don't care about that. She has a desire to run things over his life like the wave of the sea that goes over the seashore. So when he writes things on the ground, the woman walks over it. It can't work. That's what the Bible says, her desire shall be for you. A single woman is beautiful. When she puts on the ring, Satan attacks her to attack the man. So the roles are reversed. What God intended her to be, she now becomes, rather than his compliment, she becomes his competition. And this is where the problem can come. A man, rather than nurturing and cherishing, it becomes a beater. It becomes... he uses his strength to demoralize, put down, and even murder. So when we take a good look at these things, we begin to see some things coming forward. But when, in the book of Ephesians, what is written is that it was highlighting in Christ the power of the subordinate and not necessarily the power of the one who has the authority. That there is a power that comes from submission. That submission is an issue of leadership exercised through certain techniques. From the superior to the apparent less superior, not inferior. So it is highlighting that leadership comes from both persons and how God made the female a man. A real man, a father, a husband cannot survive properly without his wife. And the looking further at scripture, you find that it also shows how to be a good subordinate on the basis of giving honor to the Lord and the integrity of the leader and patterning himself after Christ. I was doing a marriage seminar and I said, "Wife, submit to your husband." And the woman said, "Who, he?" I said, "Wow." And she, as I said, was spewing up scripture. But when it came to the thing of submission, something has gone wrong in looking at this. The benefits one receives as a subordinate and the care one needs to exercise as a leader completes the governance pattern for matters of industry and productivity. Two strong bulls can't live in the pending and kill the one another. So God put it that there is, he did not put the order as, first of all, husband to wife and wife to children. This is how the Bible outlines it for the case that is before us today. Wives and husband, children and parents. In looking at these things, you see then servants and masters as we walk through. Wives and husbands, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to 33, 10 verses, and then children to parents. And that is about four verses there, about servants and masters, another four there, about. So from here on, all biblical expressions, we need to put in mind that God has a pattern. Looking at scripture,
and I want to say something to you. One of our listeners, Sister Deidre Pierce, she messaged me just now. She's like, good night. I agree with Dr. Brathwaite about the analogy of marriage of Adam age to present the foundation of marriage. Great show. Right? So your listeners, they're locked on. Sister Deidre Pierce is one of the members of our Lace Women's Ministry. I have a women's ministry called Lace. It was started by my daughter Crystal, and Lace means ladies after Christ's example. So that's one of the ladies from the Lace Women's Ministries who are listening to you. So as I said, you're the teacher tonight, and the ladies are taking note.
Are they? Thank you. Your partner. Your friend that said it, thank you so much, ma'am. God bless you. I'm working on a weakness in terms of trying to keep remembering people's names.
You're talking about Deidre Pierce, Sister Deidre?
Yes, Miss Pierce. God bless you.
Yes. Right, so I did not say goodnight to them, but let me say goodnight to the Lace Ladies. Goodnight to the women's leader of the Lace Women's Ministry, Sister Latoya Whitehall. I'm sure she's locked on. A phenomenal woman. A woman who has, you know, grown in leaps and bounds in Christ. And her testimony, maybe one of these days we will invite her to share her story. But I want to say goodnight to her and all the ladies in Lace. Sister Sherri-Ann Short, who is now an ordained minister, good night to you, another member of Lace. I want to say good night to the Lace Ladies in the USA, the Lace Ladies in Taiwan. We have Faustina Pereira, who is supporting us all the way in Taiwan. She told me when COVID is over, she's going to visit us in Barbados. We have our Lace Ladies in Guyana, Monique McPherson. We have Monique and her daughter who's locked on from Guyana. So good night to you, Lace Ladies. You know, people are now online because of COVID, but we've been online doing ministry forever. Lace Ladies was around for like what, five years now? We've been online doing ministry all around the world. So I just want to greet you ladies and say I love you. You know, some of them I've traveled to do ministry and so on. I've stayed in their homes and done ministry. So you have a phenomenal group of people who are listening to you, who are locked on to you tonight.
All right, and some it's very much more educated to teach than I am, but it is important to understand that the Apostle Paul was writing to a Gentile world where anything goes, it was like fast food, anything you want, money, but money. He wasn't writing to a necessarily hard-nosed Jewish congregation that has a background of certain morality, because the Jews were beginning to fully foot. So the Gentiles who were by nature children of wrath probably needed to be taught the principles of divine order, and that submission is not a sign of weakness. If you could beat a woman could beat your man, you know? So let's get it right. When it was studied in Jamaica, it was told that a lady was beating her husband. She was sitting up because she was bigger than him, you know? Sitting down with the guy, for murder, he slashing. Brought down, murder! Another lady at the funeral crying, and as she was there crying, you know, it's only when they listened, she was saying, oh God, I'm glad he's gone. Tears coming down, you know? So you find that when men look at the ladies, we have a plan in our minds for them. But it's to be understood that women got a plan in their heads for the man as well. Both plans need to be submitted to the foot of the cross. So
amen.
Submission,
amen,
is not a sign of weakness, but it is a choice unto God through the system he has set in place. When we look at Ephesians 5:21, see the first couple of verses and see that it is dealing with worship, with singing praise and so forth. If a couple is singing and praising and putting God in the center, it all hell is going to break up. And by extension, any church. you will find that many churches but so-called fire and the praising God and stuff, you don't want to go home. People would link and so forth. But when that element of worship is not where it ought to be, or praising, you find that people can't carry on. So this component of the success of marriage, first of all, begins with mutual submission to God, understanding that each other shares a role in the thing. And I kid you, you have to look at it from what the scripture says and get into divine order as quick as you can. It is not about who writer or who am writer. Inside the marriage, the privilege of delegation, responsibility, and sharing things. That I was married by my ex-wife, or at the time, my wife at the time, she was more on paper, I mean, right. She wake up the morning and do an exam, and 100%, I go and do my exam from 3 weeks out and come forward. And even though my last certificate, I mean, these people are crazy. Now the class market, 85%, nearly 30 courses. I would never get on there again. But the philosophy was, is that you cannot have, treat a person. So it taught me a lesson. With every course that I got, the first course I get 100%. I said, whoa, man, I'm right. I said, oh, shoot. They say 85%. So they said you cannot have that goal as a person. Mm-hmm. And that stuck with me. I remember I failed the course because the question came from another place and not in the text. But I went back to school mad. And they said, listen, you are the administrator. You are an intelligent guy. You're bright. You should have figured it out. I said, God. And yet upfront, there was an upfront agreement to stick to the script. But when you got further into the course, they then started stretching the mind. In marriage also, when you start with those butterflies, they don't last. It comes down to will and choice that you've chosen. Likewise, when God looked at us, the Bible puts it that love wasn't from us to God, but from God to us. He chose to identify with. So in Ephesians 5:21, it says submit to one another out of reverence for God. There must come a point to think that the two of us, we have to agree. So mutual submission or obedience carries with it the willingness of yielding oneself to each other for the purpose of building the relationship. I can fast forward to sexual intercourse. If a lady does not want the man to have sex with her, she can squeeze her vagina and keep him out. He forces his way early deception and he thinks he has a problem, and it is called vaginismus. It can come for other psychological reasons as well. He then, in frustration, can have erectile dysfunction from being around her. But he can go with somebody else and be okay. So unless there's that submissiveness to one another, it will not work. It's important to look at what's happening and see what God is saying. So the basis of submission in the verse is based on worshiping God and abiding in fellowship with Him. Ephesians 5:18 tells us that we have to look at the divine program. Ephesians 5:22. So in essence, it is a mutual reverential submission to God and His plan. So this reference and reverence is further strengthened by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, who helps us to get it right. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. If there is a problem, we need to go back to the manual. I bought some equipment. I remember I bought there's a lot of them guns that just put the head in there. The temperature guns. You know what I have to do? I read the thing. I said, all right, I put in the batteries. I don't do the man thing and just try to get them to open the microphone. It didn't make no sense. So I called the person who sold it to me. I said, look, this thing ain't making no sense. And then they say, you know something? There's a security guard that tests my temperature all the time. He looks so used to talk. I went to him and said, boss, you see that guy? Didn't mind. Fix this for me. Set this thing. And he did. He knew what to do. And the gun is working. For me, I couldn't read the manual. It just didn't work. Oh, press this, press that. And if the temperature is more than 103 degrees Fahrenheit, so 48 or 38 Celsius or so, you know, you get a sad face. If you're alright, you get a happy face. So understanding this thing, you can get it done properly. The only problem I got with the gun is that it actually, it burns batteries fast, but it works. So understanding the manual helps me to operate it properly. But I had to get an expert that knew how this gun works. First thing I had to do was to buy in thing. So in the text thing, there must be a buy-in. Paul identifies the star group. What is the female members of the marital union? Submit. To yield, what's it about? To yield your rights to your husband, and your rights of the wife are then found in the husband, thus giving the sort of reflection or reflector of himself more efficacy, more strength, more power. So when she yields to him, she looks better. However, it says no, as to the Lord. So the wife renders submission to the husband under the watchful eye of Christ, as though being rendered to Christ himself. And it is important to recognize that a man ain't got all the say of the power of the home. But this is, if you don't get all right, God said, boy, then kill you. You know why we say that? God said, look, I'm not going to hear your prayer. So a woman is not a doormat, as far as I'm concerned. And I don't think in my marriage they practice that. I said to my ex then, I said, look, one of these days you will fully understand the fear factor in your marriage and being a man. I had to present you before God. So in looking at scripture.
Wow. Can we just slow it down there? I want to just welcome our listeners. I just want to welcome our listeners because I realize some more people are joining us, and I just want to let them know you're locked on to Speak Life Radio and you're hearing from Dr. Dale Brathwaite, who is sharing on the topic tonight, As Christ Loved, and he's given the keys for a successful marriage. So welcome to you listeners who are now joining us. A wonderful good night to my friend, Sister Ella Drummond Hoyos. Good night to you. Thank you for listening in. And to all you other listeners who are joining us, thank you. And I hope that tonight's program will indeed be beneficial to you. If you want to reach out to me, you can reach me at 824-9288. You can also reach me at 571-9083. So sit back and relax as we bring to you the program, He Says, She Says. Now, Dr. Dale Brathwaite, you talked about a man and the fear or the responsibility that a man has for a woman. I think sometimes we as women take that for granted. I don't think that we recognize how serious a responsibility it is, and we don't understand how a man feels. I remember I was having a conversation again with Pastor Patrick Ndebele from South Africa, and he was saying to me, because he would say, Pastor Cher, let me explain something to you. Pastor Cher, do you understand what happens to a man when he has to decide to get married? Men don't want to marry, Pastor Cher. It is a lot of responsibility. So if you go through the Bible, Pastor Cher, you would recognize that Isaac did not go to get married. His father told, set him up and prepared him for marriage. An older man has to prepare a man for marriage. And I remember that conversation. It stuck with me. He said, Pastor Cher, women have to recognize that men are human and that they carry a lot of fear. They carry a lot of, they understand the responsibility that they have for their wives. And because of that, oftentimes we as women do not understand what we are asking a man to do. We don't understand he was saying to me, a lot of the protectiveness and the protective nature of a man, we don't understand what is involved when a man really decides to commit. We don't understand how he feels and the amount and how he interprets the whole responsibility. So if you can talk a bit about that from the male perspective, so that we as women understand that, because I think a lot of women are so strong that I've spoken, I've counseled some women who, when I talk to them, when the relationship or marriage gets in trouble, and I really start to help them to unpack it, many of the women do not believe that the man loved them. And when I listen to how they started and how they get married, I say, wait, you force a man to marry you. Because technically speaking, when I listen to you, you're actually saying to me that he ain't got the sense. So if this is how you actually feel about him, you are saying to me then that he obviously did not choose you. I remember when I said that to one lady in front of her husband, he slammed his hand on the table and said, thank you. He said, no, I want to tell her that she was the one who slipped the number on my desk. But I was the one who decided I was going to marry her. And it was, the look on her face, right, was like, you did? You understand what I'm saying? And as we had more conversation on it, she said, but, you know, I throw so many things his way that she honestly felt that he had no ownership of the relationship. So I want you to talk about that from a male's perspective and explain to women how it works.
Well, it is not necessarily just a male perspective. Mm-hmm. You've got to understand the state and the component in the thing.
Mm-hmm.
A single woman is different from a married woman. She would be the nicest person to you.
Mm-hmm.
As people would say it, there's many a split between the cup and the lid. Come see me, come live with me, it's two different things.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not one single. We forget that there is a real devil.
Mm-hmm.
Going after the marriage, and any one of three things will break it. The lust of the eye, pride of life, and lust of the flesh. And the scripture was very clear in Titus chapter 2. It tells all older men to teach younger men how to manage their wives, how to love their wives. When it comes down to, like, even in writing in this book, I read nine women over a 2 to 3 year period. Help me to understand what the lady is thinking. When she says this, what probably she meant. And you find that in many instances, the lady seemed to say that I love you more when you get into what I want. Not what you want and where we're going. It is what I want. As one person said to me, that sex, that is not a problem. When he behaves himself, he gets it. As another lady said, with a legal background on Tolman said, women use their vagina as leverage to get what they want. Because men are achieving things and ladies, the longest thing there is housewife. I said to some person, as I look at scripture, I've worked from home, being an artist, an author, a pastor, my office is up to today in my home. And even as a natural health doctor, I am renting a body place down here, and I work from a registered office where I live. And you find that the home component, when my ex was with me, and I was God blessed, I loved everything about her, everything. Today, I can't even own love, but I know that it is what it is, and I have to move on. But you can't own love. So you're trying to pretend that, yes, but my God, this love thing, God, it says that it's as strong as death. And when you look at where we are as a people, this love is one in which is heavily opinionated from the kingdom, that it is not your love that causes the marriage to last, because humanness, the lust of the eye, pride of life, and lust of the flesh. So these ladies say, for example, and I've monitored this in marriages upon reflection, when you go to marry people, a microphone is on in front of the male and female. It was tested before you got there by the strong man, making sure it's working. The preaching from it, he's talking from it, singing the hymns and everything. He put the microphone to the man's mouth. And you can hear every word. You put it to the woman's mouth again. Why? Because she's not initially offering this thing of commitment. However, along the way, you can develop more. Fully, man, for me, there was always a fear factor that I have to give an account of God one day for how I treat this woman. At any time, for me, things were going slightly wrong or it's wrong or what, yeah, not particularly, I still object with her because she's my source of reflection. And that's the difficulty that I face. However, the scripture gives the lady a little room. Says, look, if you don't want this treatment, go ahead. Why remain single? If she wants to go, let her go.
You know, you talked about checking yourself. And I remember in the early days of going to Party Blood Assembly, I remember Bishop Lowe, you know. And I remember he used to have these discussions sometimes in the evening with the church. And I remember one evening he announced that the discussion was going to be what women, what wives want from their husbands. So, you know, everybody was really excited about this discussion and, you know how we go. So the evening we came back to church, the church was filled. The church was rammed to capacity that evening. And Bishop Lowe came in with his usual, you know, how he would do it. Anybody who knows him knows how he was very matter-of-fact, straight-talking. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry to disappoint you this evening, but we're no longer going to be having that discussion. I noticed after I made the announcement, I went home with my wife. She got on really excited. She got really excited about this discussion tonight, and I decided not to have it. I need to talk with her first and make sure I write with her before I come to y'all with this talk, right? So we can postpone it for now until I check with my wife. Listen, look, I broke down laughing. It was hilarious. But I remember his attitude towards it. It was like, let me check with her first and make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do before I come to you as the body of Christ with this. The other thing that I remember when he actually had the discussion, and you know, he is one of the persons that I truly treasure as a leader, as a man of God, as it relates to setting the standards and telling it like it is as it related to marriage. I remember while we were having the discussion, there was a lady in the congregation who constantly, you know, everybody was putting up their hands and trying to make their contributions, and he would come and give them the mic to speak and so on. And there was this lady who was putting up her hands all the time, and she kept putting her hands, and he kept ignoring her and giving the mic to everybody else. And I thought, well, this is real odd. And I thought it was really embarrassing because everybody could see that she wanted to speak and he was consciously ignoring her and giving other people the mic. And you know, eventually he came to her and he said, listen, I ain't ignoring you, you know, but this is what I want you to do for me. You see your husband right there sitting outside of you? I want you to tell him what you want to say to us. And if he say it's okay for you to say, then I can come back to you. I was like, yo, this man is serious, yeah? This man is something else. And those are the lessons that I had in my formative years with Bishop Lowe. And I thought, how many pastors, how many male leaders are brave enough to take that stance, take that position, and do that? Because oftentimes, we as women would speak, and we would speak not understanding that we could be embarrassing or we could be breaching confidentiality and so on as it relates to our husband. So as you talked about that and checking with your wife, from the husband's perspective, I really appreciated that, and it reminded me of Bishop Lowe. Yeah?
It is important to also recognize that to inquire is a fearful thing, you know, mm-hmm. Especially when you realize that your bump percentage is based on how you treat this lady before God. The role of the female carries the power of legacy for the human. And Satan knows that if you mess with the incubator, you got the child. And that is what he's going after all the time. He's going after the incubator. So the Royal Barbados Police Force have done research and shown that some of our children who are unfocused, they have a legacy in their family. The mother's mother, they were on drugs and so forth. So they can trace it back to about two or three generations. They were troublemakers. Mm-hmm. So if a nation is to be protected, the family must be strong. Today we've got, because of COVID, little children getting violent things done to them because now the things that the family used to hide behind, going to work and all these other things, they know are restrained to a strict area and they know what to do. When there was a coup in Trinidad, I went into Trinidad school a couple days after the coup. And they said that a lot of men were in trouble because no, they couldn't call the guys in line and get here. They had to face the music. They couldn't wait till the coup was over. So the Bible says stick like glue, and this glue is one incorporated into. So if the wife is pulling after the lust of the eye, pride of life, and the lust of the flesh, and or what is the money is, they are not married to the divine purpose. Neither is the man. You can initially come together because you look good and rosy, but understand that marriage is work. It is a job, an all life full time job of will and choice. I don't prove it. The dear husband has a great responsibility, and I watch it carefully, of making this wife look good. Sometimes I tease women sometimes and I said, gee, girl, you look so good. Your husband is doing a fantastic job. Just so you might give me a sport in my hard work. That's one. And you find that when people are married, there is a glow of gloriousness. There's a shine that comes, and that's God's shine. A horn licks it off. It licks off the glow. So what the horn a man or woman is going after, they cannot get it with carnal relations. And this is where the struggle comes in. When you come into Christ as a couple, you leave many principles of your past behind, and you form new norms. And the new norms are built on God's word. In Christ, it is not just a static thing, but it is very dynamic because of the Holy Spirit. He's leading and guiding. Jesus was given, so listen, if you leave father and mother for me, it shall be restored. Spouse, it shall be restored. He can give you new families if necessary. So the principles of family preservation in a troubled society is to move away from the principles of the Adamic man and become the new man in Christ. You've got to be aware of the male-female rules. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 into chapter 4, verse 2, that male and female had different roles and their bodies shaped different, functioned different to get out a particular thing, a particular pattern. And humanly, the skin is similar, but not the same. The ladies, not even the skin, the dermatological expression is slightly different. The bone structure or content is different. The organs behave different. Don't the cells behave different? Because the male and female are different because of purpose. The lady, her body is one in which there is, within that childbearing age in particular, the potential to stretch. With a man, he had no stretch. He doesn't function like her. And the way the raw lady sways, she was built for that, so she could carry the weight of a child. I'm not about forcing to be, excuse the term, to be a bull of man. He cannot sway like a woman. His rigidity is in place for a purpose. He cannot. When you look at a male, generally speaking, who may be what is now called transgender and so forth, it says there's a woman white in this white. But the lady just got a natural fear to move because the ergonomics of her being, how the pelvic and everything is to bear the weight. So you would have in the human structure, you look at it carefully from the head to the toes, or even to what is called the coccyx, there is a triangular type thing for balancing and motion. And God, for example, the coccyx area of the woman shoots upward. This is why most ladies, especially as a black man looking at black ladies, oh sweet, thank you Lord, their buttocks pushes out more than the man. You see, he ain't got one to worry about. Because for the birth canal, if the coccyx, the tailbone was shaped inward, it would destroy the child's face. God did not make a mistake. So the woman shall be in want for him because of his major goals shall be work as well. The man in Christ moves into rest whilst he works. He has to pursue that work. Matthew 11:28 and so forth. So the occupation of the strength of his brow shall fill and prioritize his home. The principles of the kingdom shall be his priority. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, because all of us are duty bound. But three things in the expression of the love of the man: food in the belly, clothes by the back, and a roof over the head. when you want all the above niceties, a roof over our head in today's, I can't remember the square footage, a roof is about nearly $30,000. And if you're comparing, oh, you don't give me this thing today, what about the roof that you put up? It's $30,000 and climbing. Ask him what the answer is, see what I mean. Get repaired. It's that easy, right? So the value that is put in, as I did this research, if you give a lady a Mercedes Benz, she counts it as one gift. The man doesn't count it as that. He counts it as great effort to give you something that will last, that will not break down with you. All these things, but the woman still listen, that's only one thing. And then she will say, but you can't want your ass. She said the next thing, and the man said, hey, I gave you the fundamental framework. You can put the rest in it as well. So you find that when a lady is with a man, he got this chivalry spoiled ladies. I'm saying don't make her feel sweet and special. But when she's driving her SUV, and more women seemingly some have more sports utility vehicles than a man, who's opening the door for them? Let a man leave home and the woman vexed about how the house furniture is set up. He goes into the city or something for a couple of hours, he comes back all the furniture changed up, and she ain't getting no help from nobody else. Where'd that come from? So, the woman has helped me. Has
you're being dangerous tonight though, Dr. Dale.
She's on break.
Man, there is some, those are some serious shots that you're throwing tonight, man. Look.
You tell me. But this is for two. Whoever says truly, it means in the Asian dialect, for two, they ain't got no lion say that. They're that woman at the zoo.
Listen. I remember my boss, she posted something. She said, listen, godly women, when their husbands get them vexed, they don't go on horn, they just put on some music and change around the house and pelt up the furniture. You understand? So,
my mother is a first class hairdresser, or was at 74 years old, right?
Uh-huh.
And she taught me a number of things, but one of the things that she taught me, I am a good barber based on watching her. My dad is a barber as well, but also he was skilled.
Right.
Retired aircraft engineer, diesel specialist, and so forth. So I picked up trades from them. I probably am an artist today because of the books that he brought back from Scotland. However, she said that when they come in the salon, I said, cut it off. She had to ask, what is the problem with your husband today?
Man, stop.
What do you do wrong now? So the thing is, sometimes a woman will divorce a man because he ain't do X and Y. She uses it as a trump card. I could do my business. And if that man play, he get divorced, she divorced him, and he go and marry somebody too young and go and throw the nigga, make him snore.
Wow.
Because he ain't do what I tell you. So you got these dynamics going. The lady wants control. She ain't controlling her domain, but she wants yours. And if you get near to hers, she can make it snort. And those of the international market, make it snort, guess what it means? You will not be at peace. You can walk over top the roof. Mm-hmm. A lady knows how to make it snort, because she has what is called a wolf back. She can tell everybody who bad is. And when people say they cut up the, oh, he ain't nobody here with them in the house with you. She plans it, and the husband at times is the last body to know that she left him. And she leaves, you know, there was a song that went, you took a fine time to leave me, Lucille, with four hungry children and a crop in this fish. She looks for a moment, and bam, you got to feel it the most. You hurt me, I want it. And sometimes the one thing is hell for a period of time. Poor guy gone on, it was still at the spot that he hurt you. He ain't even say sorry. And these are things that he said, she said, goes on. But because the guy, and most of us as guys are sex-driven, I asked an economist and accountant, I said, how would I just do mathematics, man? I said, people call it value-added sex. 50%.
What is this now?
Yeah. Well, is it no? Let me tell you, women leverage their vagina. You go and see women that build a whole house out all the different things. Men just do solar and bring the healthy body line. This is one bracket relationship. Another fella come in, he has plenty foundation. Then he think that he's selling you, man, I don't like to return. The boss has gone build the superstructure. And he's doing all the feeling, you know. Before he can settle down, he said, what the hell we do, boss? And we're going to build the roof. And there's a plan. But in Christ, that is not it. They work systems. And if men think sometimes, even Matthew Paul said it, that if a whole baby comes through a vagina, and you think that size, my pressure, and you're wasting your time. Idiot. You're wasting your time. They can pretend. Give you anything you think you want to get anything they need. It is called leverage. But in Christ, it is a gift to each other. And for those of us who are Christian minded and think, I'll be talking about me doing this thing one day fast and think, God said, don't do that. That's what you said. Fasting should be short and come back together. So I said, I'm going to tell you, when you fast, you get more erections than ever before, you know? Because there's a cleansing power with fasting. Since you come back together quick, if you fast for 21 days, you think you could come back together? Probably, you're going to be weak. So it wasn't a long fast. It was an agreeable fast to pursue God for an issue. Pursue God, the faith that you gave it is dissolved. So in looking at the scripture, the foundation of love is very critical. It is very objective. It is very realistic. Your husband ain't got the money, don't make him want to fuck you.
But you know,
go ahead.
That scripture that you talked about as it relates to fasting and the coming back together quickly. Sometimes you hear couples in marriage say that they need space from each other. And I'm thinking to myself, but would the Bible even cautioned us? God even cautioned us about fasting and being away from each other for too long. And the interpretation that I have for that scripture is that even for the act of sex within the marriage, it was so critical to holding the two people together that even for some late fasting, it was included not to even use this as an excuse. So therefore, the headache story gone through the window. Take two Panadols and get on with it, girls.
No. I found that song that day. He said, tell her that I ain't going up there, so. And the average amount of money, we actually got 6 inches. So we ain't going to be ahead. No.
But listen, you just lost me, though. I'm serious. I was like, where is he going with this? You just lost me.
I have to say to the lady, I ain't going up there tonight, nor never.
So you will not bother the headache? Oh, Lord.
You will not say the headache of an issue. As a matter of fact, medically speaking, there is a value of sex to the male and female. A man can get prostate cancer from not getting sufficient sex. You need to get sex in 2 ways, every day beginning with tea. Today, tomorrow, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
I hope Brother Fidel is listening, because Brother Fidel said to me after the last show, Brother Fidel said, Cheryl, something is wrong with that man's head.
Something is wrong. 2 years, a man needs to use the head with the brain, not just with the nerves. You need to think, bro. But it's important. A man's sex. When a man is having an overdose of sex, he will not have a powerful erection, because powerful erection is built on sperm availability and sperm count. It is 3 months in development, 72 hours to get right. When it works, it won't come up, so you're going to get a hard on any hope erection, because it won't come up.
But Dr. Dale, I don't want you to terrorize my ladies, and I don't want to feel terrorized either. Are you saying then that a man cannot control that? A man cannot control himself?
All right, I can say this one for you. When a woman ovulates in or pre-ovulation, any man would do, because inside of her, is it impregnating? Even if she pretends, she still wants a man, because that is what God has put in place. A man must control, because the Bible talks about self-control, which is a self-limitation on your natural human rights. So you manage it. But inside of the male and female, they were designed to reproduce. So when that's part right, hey, as my a psychologist friend of mine, Dr. Marvin Barry Davidson in Jamaica said, the animal was that the man. And we had to accept it. Well, I saw about retirees and he's going to be 17 again, mother. So sexual intercourse for the human is a real thing. In Romans chapter 1, it says they left the natural use of the woman and burning itself man with man, committing what is a problem, an abomination. The boxy was not designed for a doggy at all, for a penis. Let's understand that at the penis head is a lot of what is called blood vessels and nerves that gives you a facilitated feeling, a pleasurable feeling. Ah, the buttocks. It's like it is also blood vessels, and the internal and external sphincter, particularly of the male, pushes sperm out. When you start to do the job of bullet, and bullet comes from an agricultural term that when a heifer was in heat, she jumped on the other heifer back, and they said it bullet. You brought it across into the human environment, and you say it's a bullet. So let's understand this, that the buttocks was not made for a digit going up, because the internal and external sphincter pushes down, there's a sheath that goes over feces and pulls it up, and then there's a closure. When those two fences are damaged, like inside our stomach, there's something called esophageal reflux, you have rectal incontinence. A woman in this today's some, and I must say some, like this thing called bullet because she gets multiple orgasms. At the end of the day, she has rectal incontinence. She can't laugh, not that so because fecal matter comes out without control. And God says, don't do it. Your power to think is in your buttocks because B vitamins and vitamin K are synthesized in the lower abdomen. When sperm is ejaculated into the buttocks, it can become can be attached to the lining of the stomach and become what is called carcinoma. When sperm is released in a vagina, what happens? All things being even, you get a child, generally speaking. The sperm and the semen washes the vagina that takes care of microbes that they can be impregnation. God knows what he's doing. So God put these.
But hold on, Dr. Dale, hold on. Because let me tell you, you went in rough just now, man. You ain't even using Vaseline. But just a minute, I want you to slow down there because. Let me tell you, I had to turn up the AC just now. Now, what you were saying, yeah? And you touched on the whole area of anal sex, and I believe we're going to come back and we're going to do that as another show. Oh, wait, wait, sorry, no, wait, I'm confusing too. All right, hold on, wait. No, hold you, wait, all right, wait, hold tight.
Ejection and ejection, it is not sex, don't get it wrong.
Okay, so that's bullying. Okay. All right, hold on.
It helps you. When you put a penis in there, your body attempts to digest that doggy, that penis.
Okay, wait, hold on. Hold on, I want to say something here, right? Because I remember sometime back I went to my gynecologist, right? And we would normally have, you know, real good conversations. We'd be talking about the Lord and talking about the Bible and things. And I raised this particular day, I was talking to her, she was so disturbed. And I said, what happened? I called her back. I said, what happened? She said, Cheryl, I really am concerned about what we are seeing, you know, in the medical fraternity and thing these days. I said, what happened? She said, Cheryl, as a gynecologist, right? She said, no, we deal with a lot of medical issues that surround, you know, sex and sexuality and so on. She said, no, Cheryl, in the pharmaceutical world, there are medications to treat the vagina for certain things. There are medications to treat the body for certain things and so on. She said, but Cheryl, no, we are seeing illnesses that would normally show up in the vagina and normally show up in the buttocks. We are seeing these illnesses showing up in the throat and there is no medication to treat it in the throat. When a woman told me that, I was like, wait, say what you just say?
Listen, there are challenges though, Derek.
Serious issues.
Your brain depends on your gut and depends on your body.
Mm-hmm.
Because electrolytes are kept in your sugars and salt because the bits, the muscles are able to do what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And some of our ladies are bullied because they're trying to think and the penis rubs against the gland, the estrogen gland. And when there's a couple of them and then there's another gland between the male and the female. When it rubs there, she can have these orgasms. Then there is the penetration of the penis and the vagina. She does not have as many. So she said, put it there. But there's a problem at the end of the day because some of the same fellas who go in the anus, and note, your anus is just about an inch long, right? And the rest is colon, you know. And this colon has a point of bending. And you take his end and bend and make it straight. You are creating a lot of what is called transverse or longitudinal fissures in the anus because when you compare the anus with the vagina, there is an anatomical difference. The vagina causes the penis, a series of muscles grab the penis and say, stay here. With the anus, it is only designed to push up. With the anus, anything that is leaking from it is a medical concern because the anus will reset itself in order to stop you from dying. The body is of such that it does a law of compensation to keep us above the earth. When you strain those two muscles, you mess it yourself for life. I know in America there's something called, I don't know the full name, but in Beijing there's something called a push flood. But that will flow when you sneeze or laugh or cough.
But, you know, as you said, God didn't make mistakes, and the way he designed us to function, you know, we've gone against the natural way that God intended for us to function in marriage, and the whole sexuality, sex in marriage and so on, that's something we have to come and deal with on its own because of the dynamics there. But I'm sure you would have alluded to some of these things based on the fact that, you know, God created a man in marriage to perform certain roles, and even the biological design is proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that God intended marriage to work a particular way.
But that's it. No, that's it. A lady's vagina in preparation for sexual intercourse, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's an up thing. A guy, penis functioning properly, goes up.
Mm-hmm.
When you compare the male and female, they are hand in glove. In the book of Hebrews, the 6th chapter 13, verse 4, therefore, it says, marriage is honorable and the marriage is better than the mother. And we take it that the vagina and so forth, that's not what it's talking about. It is actually talking about the fact of that penis or penile penetration to the vagina that goes towards making children. There's nothing wrong with that. But today, from my book, Plain Talk on Sex, it shows that the gynecological challenges that we're having today are causing obliteration of pharmaceuticals because that which the pharmaceutical industry got rid of in the 1930s, we're bringing back things like E. coli and so forth because of our sexual things. So you find then that these people, they put their penis in an anus and then put it back in the vagina. The lady can have even maggots in there. Because there are some of us who may have worms in the gut and so forth. So though the anus and the vagina close, let them be the mist. Don't do that. So when you spray in that internal and external sphincter, one of the things that happens is that you create a situation where defecation becomes very difficult because the sheet that's supposed to come over the stool and bring it down, and in different inside the orifice, there are about two chambers. When you want to go to the toilet, you plural, you find that instead, oh, it's coming, so you're trying to send it yourself, and if there's a traffic jam, they can get one. And then, the traffic jam for lunch, shoot, this thing coming down, boy. And when you get this, and the excuse me, there's a little skinny police. To an accident, stopping me. You just need to lick it off. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to tell you, so you get home now, you can barely get off your pad. It's like, oh, like, it can disturb that process. It will come down in the yard. Because, you know, you have no power of attorney operating there. In addition, that when some of us take our feces, and rather than letting it come over 4 to 5 hours after digestion and so forth, one of the things that happen is that you get rectal, you get fecal impacted, and more water comes out of the feces than is necessary. So the only liquid that is feces, and how feces is liquid that lubricates that it can come up. But the intercourse, sexual intercourse, as it relates to the penis and the vagina, there are liquids coming from the lady, and there are liquids coming from the male. And they both form what is called a sliding act. And if God did not put the sweetness and sex we think that do it, it is treating itself bad. So God triggered a mechanism that we will fulfill his purpose. But it has to be fulfilled within the context of marriage. So that God is asking us to treat each other nice, because there's a direct impact of how we perform when niceness is present. So the husband is head. That is, he has seized or taken hold of her by warrant and legal right. When the wife is in the father's house, he gives you everything. When you come and get married, work begins. So in our families, we are trained for the university of anywhere. We're trained for CXCs and so forth, but very seldom we are trained to carry on a new family. So the husband is head of the wife as Christ is head of the church, his body, of which he's savior. So my role as husband, formed before I had this medical certificate, formed one of many here with the wife. The wife's health is built around and built up by the husband. Nourish and cherish is two medical words. So bringing it into sharper focus, the husband's role that everybody I work on, it's almost like a frightening thing where I know that this person wants my assistance and their life is in my hand. And I said, God, so for the 2 hours that I work with an individual, I just said, oh my God, this body's life is in my hand. And the outcomes, they're saying if some of the doctors can't help them, I want my help. And there's sometimes, I don't know if people are listening, but there's a little nerve-wracking thing that I have to say. I trust my notes. From coaching, you trust the coaching procedure, and you apply it. So in medicine, I got to trust that. So in marriage, the husband has to stick to the divine script. And that everything is to catch his attention. His wife has to be encircled by his love. Songs of Solomon says it, and I wanted to say this as well. In the 66 books of the scripture, there are over 39 books dealing with sex. Over 39, and most pastors don't teach about sex for one day a year. 52 minus 39. I mean, so the Bible, why is it talking about these things? Romans chapter 1 tells us that when sex is inappropriate, man with man, instead of them receiving themselves the penalty of their error, we could have digestive disturbance 10 years back, and it takes a strong body to about, without medications and so forth, about 7 to 10 years to fully break down. But that which we did in the past comes back. Now you receive that penalty in your body. And when the Bible talks about natural, it goes back to a word called progenitor, which tells me that penis to vagina as sex and sexual expression and intercourse is okay before God and sanctioned. And as it is, if women are not freeing up for their husbands, you find that his excitement and not getting that sperm or can cause sperm to be septic, thus giving your man prostate cancer. When men are sleeping with other women, and sometimes they're not using condoms, one of the things that happens is that if other ladies that you have sex with and come home to your wife, they don't have to have a medical sickness, but a penis entering a new set of vaginal liquids and so forth. When he comes back to his wife, he can give her ovarian cancer in different forms. because a husband and wife, their body fluids know each other and there's nothing wrong. God wants to protect the family. But the enemy says, no, man, she learned her condition peace and this and that. But you then are setting up your family for destruction because Satan's aim is to get at the next generation. And looking at the scripture, the understanding headship as is that Christ never harmed. It's right. He said, here is an Israel in whom is no guile. I always do those things that mean to Father. The Father says, my son is whom I'm well pleased. So the husband's behavior is honor pleasing to the Father. But no, the what we call the juxtaposition of the male and female, it is brought together by the word as. The comparative analysis, like or as, and as is slightly stronger, it points to Christ as a model of how he loves. It is an outpouring. And the love that you vector at the altar has developed even years down the road. That love may not be repeated in every morning, I love you, but has to be further interpreted as the food in the belly, clothes by the back, and a roof over the head.
But one of the things I want, you know, even as you talk about that, when we think of the Western culture and we use the word love, I think we have a different definition of love to many other cultures. And I think we as people in the Western world, we have to relook at a lot of the things that we've received, whether it be from the media, whether it be from television and so on, whether it's been passed down from our families and so on. We have to look at it and really sit down and have, you know, honest dialogue with ourselves, with our families, with our spouses and so on, as to what do we really believe? How do we view love, and how do we demonstrate love towards our spouses? Because as I think of love in the Western world from a man, when a man says, very often when a man, love in the West from a man's perspective looks very much like, I want to have sex with you. What do you say to that?
Okay. There's nothing wrong with wanting to have sex with a woman. Sex with a woman is ideal, but within the context of marriage.
But a lot of the, a lot of the men are not interested in marriage. They do not want to marry. They're not prepared by anybody for marriage.
And they don't understand the heart of God, that there is a purpose that God has in view, that he wants you to marry when you're young and produce that the offspring would have shelter and identity coming from male and female. A girl child gets a lot of her identity from daddy, and a male seemingly gets a lot of his identity from mommy. But the two now are shaven that the child has a firm development for what God wants. And looking at the behavior, the highest thing you can give to a person is your body. So when a person wants to give their body to you, I'm talking about the red note. You find that it goes to the point that you can't talk, but I give you me. And I would say to any lady that is married, look, you want your husband to do things for you? Some women talk to this. Keep him soft often, because the harder he remains, the harder his heart is.
Explain for 10 marks, sir.
Alright, when a man does not get a lot of sexual expression from his wife, he, like your wife, when she don't get things from the husband, how we have it, there's a punishment. And you find that non-nationals to this country, and this, you may be from Switzerland, France, or home, they don't function by our morals or laws, and they behave different, even through the Caribbean. However, they're just with themselves. You've got to apply so many different things before you can come together, creates a problem. Therefore, the guy, I will hurry to add that a guy should empty himself at home when the sperm, when you're talking about the kid, he cannot generally go there and go with somebody else. But when he has had just one, let's say, and it's a few, and he's gone outside, he's going to go with somebody else. When a dog, he won't check for weed is a lizard. So you make him empty at home. Therefore, he's going to take, generally speaking, another 3 days. So every 3 days.
But, Dr. Brathwaite, I have some challenges with that, because for me, I am thinking that the godly man for sure should have, as a single man, there must be something that outside of what I understand what you're saying about sex, because I think we as single women struggle as well. I mean, you have your sexual urges and you know that they are real. No two ways about it, they are real. What you said about time coming around, the time of your ovulation and so on, it is real. So therefore, you will find that a lot of women don't have men, but they still have men. You understand? The man comes in at night and then you hear the gym screechy, you hear the vehicle, you know, he trying not to start the vehicle in the middle of the morning because he's trying to ease out the place and whatever. But I believe that as a single person, you still must have the ability to control your sexual urges, and we are urged to do so. I mean, when you think about the Bible says, know ye not that your body is the temple of God. And even though biologically and naturally you will have these urges and so on, as you said, we must control it and use it within the context of marriage. And I think how it's spoken a lot of the times, Dr. Brathwaite, and this is something, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not a man, and I certainly would not want to be, but I think when I look at the way that men behave as though they don't have the right and the responsibility to control themselves. They want to fuck their wives, they want to fuck the next door neighbor, they want to fuck the wife best friend, they want to fuck this teacher, they want to fuck the female pastor. They just want to lawn down the place.
But women do the same. But what I would say, a right thing from scripture, is as well, is that the husband's sexual control is his wife. And vice versa, because he said, do you not have your own feeling? This is to have his own wife. So a thing that God has put in us, Adam potentially could have populated the earth in billions, but God multiplied that other people would be involved. So the husband's control, sexual urge control, is his wife.
So suppose he doesn't have a wife yet, Dr. Brathwaite. If he's a single man, he doesn't have a wife yet. What then?
Well, a couple of things can happen. Be involved in a sport, jog and so forth. The nocturnal emission, or some people have their hands full of helping themselves. Masturbation. Mm-hmm. So people have different outlets things, but if God has 3 levels of persons on the earth, a person who was born a eunuch, a person who has made themselves a eunuch, or the person who is married.